Our gracious Heavenly Father, you are gracious. You are so loving and kind. I pray that you would bless this time in your word. Please speak to us. Lord, I specifically want to pray this morning for those that find themselves in the depth of financial despair. What a pressure that can be on our lives. And Lord, for those that are really struggling, even in this downturn of the economy, what a struggle it can be. And I am so grateful, Lord, that your word addresses finances. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak, that you would heal, that you would give us wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, there are many truths in the Bible that are very profound. They're theological. They're very, very deep. And it requires a lot of time and study, and we should certainly give those deep truths of Scripture our time and attention. But it also never ceases to amaze me how practical the Bible is. The Bible really does deal with the nitty-gritty of life. It deals with the nuts and bolts of life. And the book of Proverbs is no doubt one of the most practical books that you find in all of Scripture. We've been going through it for 9 months now, hopefully gaining a lot of wisdom, practical wisdom, on how to live life. Well, we're starting to wind down our study in Proverbs, and we're looking at that last subject that Solomon deals with, which is concerning finances. Solomon, if you remember, is one of the wisest men to have ever lived. He's also one of the wealthiest men to have ever lived. And the book of Proverbs contains his practical wisdom for financial success. And more than that, we know that the book of Proverbs is inspired by the Holy Spirit. Gang, this is God's practical wisdom for financial success. We have information in this book that tells us exactly how to handle money wisely, leading to financial security, success, yes, even prosperity. And that is wisdom that we definitely need right now. Amen? I found six principles in the book of Proverbs relating to money, six primary main principles. Last week we looked at two. Do you remember what they were? There'll be a test. No, I'm kidding. Remember, number one, money is to be earned through hard, honest work. You can't be lazy. You've got to work hard. That's what the Bible says. And you've got to have an honest job. And then secondly, it's very important that we take care of everything that's in our possession. All that the Lord has given you, everything, you need to take very good care of it. In other words, be a good steward of all that you own. That will save you buku dollars over your life. So we got those two principles. I want you to see two more principles this morning. Look at our text. Verse 6, Proverbs 6. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which, having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. Now, I got to tell you, I find this passage to be a little bit humbling. There's a little bit of sarcasm here. Do you feel the biting sarcasm? Go find an ant. Learn from the ant. Now, it's not your father or mother, sister. It's not the human ant. The insect ant. Take some time and go look at the ant. Now, most of us as adults, we're well over 5 feet tall. We're way well over 100 pounds, most of us. And the ant's less than a quarter of an inch in length and weighs a fraction of an ounce. I caught my kids spitting on ants the other day. We're intelligent. We have gifts of speech. Our brains are bigger than most anthills. And yet Solomon says, go out, find an anthill, bend over, peer down, and let the ant be your teacher. That's humiliating, isn't it? But as it turns out, the ant is a wonderful teacher when it comes to financial concepts. The way an ant operates, without a doubt, confirms again what we learned last week. Don't be lazy. Work hard. Ants are not lazy, are they? You look at those dudes and they are scurrying all about. They're strong. They're industrious. An ant can carry 20 times its own body weight. And those little guys, they get a lot done in a short period of time. They're very hard workers, so that is definitely a principle that Solomon's reinforcing here again. Don't be lazy, be industrious, work hard like the ants do. But I want you to notice two other activities that we see the ants doing. Notice first, they seem to be working according to a plan, don't they? It says she provides, verse 8, her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. This ant is planning according to the season. This little ant recognizes that during the harvest time, she should be directing or focusing her energies towards certain tasks. But then in the summer, she's focusing her activity and direction towards other tasks. She's living according to a plan. And it says she doesn't have any captain, they don't have any rulers, no overseers. It just seems that the ant innately knows that you've got to live life according to a plan. An ant knows that. Learn that lesson from the ant, my brother and sister in Christ. When it comes to living, when it comes to money, you must have a plan. You have to have a financial plan. Listen to what Proverbs says, chapter 21, verse 5. I'll just read it to you. The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty surely to poverty. So listen, do you want to have plenty? Do you want to have financial security? The Bible says you've got to have a plan. If you don't have a plan, you're going to get into all kinds of financial trouble. So basically what we're finding out here is that we need to have a budget. That's the word, and I know people don't like that word, budget. Budget. A lot of people hear that word budget and they think boring, right? They think of financial calculators, spreadsheets, boardroom drama. Well, it may be boring, but it's essential. Some of you, when you think of the word budget, you might think bummer. Burden. Oh, a budget's restrictive.
It takes away my freedom. Let's not talk about budget. That limits me, and I can't have as much fun. Well, I'm sorry you feel that way if you do. But nevertheless, you need a budget. Book of Proverbs says if you want to be wise with money, you've got to have a plan. What exactly is a budget? A budget is the financial plan for your household written down on paper. And listen, it's got to be written down. You can't put that budget in your head. It has to be written down. And that budget should record all of the income that comes into your household for the month. And I do recommend doing monthly budgets. So every month you should have on a piece of paper a tally of all of the income that comes into your house, from every paycheck, from every dividend, whatever comes in to your household, you add that up, you total it up, and that's on the budget for the month. And the question is always asked at this point, well, what if my income fluctuates from month to month? What if I work by commission? What if I have good months and bad months? Well, you need to figure out what your average monthly income is based on financial history. So let's say last year, 4 months of the year, you made $2,000 each month. Then 4 other months, you made $4,000. Then 4 other months, you made $5,000. You add that all up, it equals $44,000. You divide that by 12, $3,700 per month. That's your income. You say, but what about the months when I make $5,000? Why can't I spend all that then? Because there's coming a month where you're only going to make $2,000. Spread it out. Average monthly income. You put that on the budget. And then listen, that budget then needs to record how every single dime of that income is going to be spent that month. Every dime, and you need to record it in detail. Listen, you need to spend every dime of your income on paper in the budget first before it actually gets spent. And so that means you need to allocate. You need to allocate funds. You need to allocate so much money for housing, mortgage, right? Rent, utilities. You need to allocate for groceries, for clothing, for car payments, for car maintenance, for insurance, for gas. You need to allocate money towards tithing, giving to the Lord's work, towards saving, towards entertainment. And do that for every dime. You want financial success? Do that. Scripture says you must have a plan. And if you're married, make sure that you do that with your spouse. Make sure that husband and wife get together and they come up with a budget and they come to an agreement of how every single dime is going to be spent. You got to communicate. You got to sit down together. You got to wrestle with the numbers. You got to make it happen. You got to sacrifice various things, and it can't be one-sided. Milton Berle used to say, my wife makes the budget work. We do without a lot of things I don't need. Husband and wife on the same page, putting that budget together. Now, there are many benefits to having a budget. Listen, if you have a budget, you really do have a plan to help you navigate the financial issues of your month. You have a pathway. It's not all just this random stuff. If you have a budget, you are going to become absolutely, incredibly more aware of your financial insight. You're going to know exactly how much is coming in and how much is going out, and more importantly, where it's all going. if you have a budget that you've agreed on, that budget will force you to live according to your means so that you don't overspend. And listen, this is so important. If you guys get together and you put yourself a budget for your household, I promise you that budget is going to save you boatloads of money. And you want to know why? Because a budget forces you to think through every purchase, every transaction. A budget makes you think category. It makes you communicate. And you are going to eliminate so many of those little, frivolous, spontaneous expenses. You know, it's those little expenses every month, being nickel and dime to death, that really hurt us economically. Benjamin Franklin said, "Beware of little expenses. A small leak will sink a great ship." If you don't have a budget and you start obeying what the Word says about having a plan for your finances, I guarantee you, you're going to find all kinds of little spots in the way you're spending money that's wasteful. You're going to find more money than you never even thought you had. Example, Starbucks coffee is the rage, right? Who likes Starbucks? I love it. My blood's part Starbucks coffee. No, I'm just kidding. But I do. I love Starbucks coffee. But what happens when you go to Starbucks? They might as well call it $4, right? Every time you go to Starbucks, you spend at least $4. If you get your gourmet coffee, you know, your grande vanilla latte, that'll be $4. Thank you. Now, what if you did that every day for the month? You've made Starbucks $120 richer and yourself $120 poorer. And so you do a budget and you find that out and you say, wow, $120 a month, that's a pretty good chunk of change. For the year, that's about $1,500. Wow. Kim and I discovered that and we started going and buying our Starbucks, you know, wholesale bean grounded and brew it at home. And you save a whole lot of money. If you start to have a budget and really analyze how you're spending your money, you're going to notice how much you spend eating out. How much you spend on those little spontaneous purchases while you're waiting in the line at the grocery store. You will eliminate that. You will find a whole lot money, more money than you even knew that you had. That comes with a budget. Budget will also balance you out. A budget will make sure that you're spending money in balance, that you're not out of balance. You know what a huge item is for Americans? And Americans spend a whole lot of money on this. Pleasure. Entertainment. Sports. Recreation. Hobbies, all of this kind of stuff. You know what the book of Proverbs says in chapter 21, verse 17? He who loves pleasure will be a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not be rich. I'm not saying that you never go have any fun, but if you're spending 50% of your monthly income on movies, not wise, is it? So the budget balances you out. It makes sure that you're not spending too much on one area. It really gives you insight like that. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 16 says, "Have you found honey? Eat only as much as you need, lest you be filled with it and vomit." You can get too much of stuff. And the budget will show you that. So, that is so important. Get that budget down. And then you know what's more important than actually putting the budget down on paper? Living according to it. disciplining your life so that you live according to that budget. Husband and wife, you've got to live according to that budget. That is, if you're going to spend more money in a certain category, then you need to take it out of another category. And husband and wife, this should promote communication between you. I recommend having weekly budget meetings to go back over the budget, to fine-tune, to tweak. Now, guys, I know some of you are practical. Don't ever combine date night and budget meetings. Don't get all dressed up and go out to dinner and then pull out the budget. Hey, honey, let's talk budget. That won't work out well for you. Take the time to sit down and talk about how you're spending money that week. Do it. Have a plan. By the way, don't take your cue from the federal government. I found this report. It's dated back 30 years into the 1970s. And it says, in 1977, for the first time ever, the government in Washington spent more than $400 billion in a single year, and they're horrified by that. This was more than $200 million an hour each working day of the year. Moreover, during 1977, the government was almost $70 billion in the red. This topped the largest ever deficit of $66.5 billion in 1976. You know what the budget, proposed budget is for 2009-10? $3.55 trillion. And the deficit is $1.17 trillion. Now, if you had $1.17 trillion that you could just make up in your household, we don't have that, do we? Don't take your cue from the federal government. Don't take your cue from your neighbors who are broke. Don't take your cue from all those other people in your life that seem to be living the dream and they're in debt up to their eyeballs. You know what? Look at the ant. Go look at the ant. And see that the ants plan. They prepare. If they can do it, we can do it. Amen? So, very important lesson you see repeated over and over in Proverbs concerning money. Basically, budget. Live according to a plan. Now, what other activity do you see these little ants doing in this passage? Look at verse 8 again. She provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. What's going on there? The ants are storing up stuff, aren't they? In the harvest time, it says they're gathering all their food, but it would seem that they're not consuming all of their food in the harvest time, are they? They're storing some of their food for later. They're gathering certain supplies in certain seasons, saving it up for the other seasons. What are these little ants doing? They're saving. Insects know that you need to save. Let's learn our lesson from the ant, and some of us need to take our medicine on this, don't we? That's the fourth principle that you see in the book of Proverbs concerning money. It is absolutely essential that we save it. We have to save money. It's not optional. It is mandatory. All of the successful financial people say that they've earned their wealth basically by saving. Benjamin Franklin again said, if you would be wealthy, think of saving as well as getting. One wealthy finance guy says, here are four simple rules to live by when it comes to money. To be wise is to be a saver. And he says, number one, start early. Today is the day to start your savings program. Save a definite amount, number two. Number three, save regularly and systematically. And number four, employ your savings productively. Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 10 or 20, I'll read it to you. In the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil. But a foolish man devours all that he has. The wise person, the person who is wise with their money and with their finances, with their resources, they will save. The foolish one doesn't save anything, consumes all of their resources for the month. And folks, did you know that in our country, we basically have a negative savings rate? You know what a negative savings rate is? Check this out. Not only are most people not saving anything every month, but every month they're spending more than they make. So there's no saving, and the debt pile just keeps getting larger and larger and larger. I'm telling you, if you want to get ahead, save some money every month. Why do we need to save money? What are we saving for? There's a lot of things that we need to save money for. I mean, you have to save money for emergencies. The ants know that there's coming a season where it's going to be lighter. And so they store up more during this season to anticipate the rainy day that's coming. Same deal. Did you know that emergencies come in life? They do. Emergencies, financial catastrophes come in life. There may come a time where you lose your job and you're out of work for a couple of months until you can find employment again. That's a rough go. There are times when a health issue will pop up into your family. Somebody gets in an accident or there's an illness and there's a stay in the hospital. And if you haven't figured this out by now, medical services are extremely expensive, even with insurance. Things in life blow up. Cars blow up, don't they? Tires go flat. Refrigerators blow up. Dishwashers blow up. Washers and dryers blow up. Microwave ovens blow up. Furnaces blow up. Water heater tanks blow up. Air conditioners blow up. And I've had years where it seemed like they all blew up on the same day. You ever had that? My friend, listen, it's not if, it's when. Emergencies are going to come into your life. And here's the deal. You know how most Americans pay for emergencies? Credit card. And many times you can trace the financial ruin in a person's life back to a time in their life where an emergency came and they pulled that out, they got a credit card, or they got a line of credit, or a home equity loan, or whatever. There's lots of ways to do it. And that emergency got paid for with a credit card, and it led to this debt issue, and they were never able to get out of it. You know how we need to pay for emergencies? With an emergency fund. With cash. And that means you need to save for a rainy day. Now, it's been great. Our church is putting on this Financial Peace University with Dave Ramsey. We've been meeting on Thursday nights for the last 9 weeks. It's been a fantastic course. And he's really good at an expert at these sorts of things. I thought it was really cool to be going through that class and while studying in the book of Proverbs. You know where he gets his stuff? Proverbs. But Dave Ramsey suggests that we should all have an emergency fund that contains 3 to 6 months of basic living expenses. per month. So if your living expenses per month is like $3,000, then he suggests that you have an emergency fund that has somewhere between $9,000 and $18,000 in it to handle those. So save up, get that emergency fund in place, and then once you have the emergency fund in place, don't touch it. It's for emergencies. Christmas isn't an emergency. The new sofa isn't an emergency. The big screen TV for the Super Bowl isn't an emergency. You keep that savings for your emergency. Now, what else should we save for? Well, we need to save just like our grandparents did. How did our grandparents save? What did they save for? Purchases. Big purchases. Now, that is not... I mean, nobody does that. If somebody wants furniture or a TV or something, they go in and they put it on credit, right? And then they make monthly payments until it's all paid off. You know how grandma and grandpa used to do it? They'd save up for it month by month and then have cash and then pay for it with cash. That's what we should do. That's the right way to do it. You want a big screen TV? Okay, that's great. Save up for it every month and then go pay for it with cash. See, we get it backwards. We go out and we get the big screen TV and then we make payments with interest to other people. Whereas what we need to do is come back another 6 months in time, make payments to yourself, earn interest, buy with cash and get better deals. Pay for as much stuff as you can with cash. Save monthly installments. You can do that towards furniture. You can do that towards the college education that's coming. You can do that towards automobiles. You can do that as you plan and get ready for those more expensive months of the year. Doesn't it seem like there's one month in the year where everybody has their birthday? I mean, and all the birthdays happen on that month, and you know about it, but you're never ready for it. Get ready for it. Save for it. By the way, December's an expensive month. Guess what? Christmas comes every year on December 25th. It shouldn't take any one of us by any bit of surprise at all. We shouldn't be like, Christmas is here. Save up for Christmas. How do most people pay for Christmas? They put it all on their credit cards in the month of December, and then they take the next 6 months of the next year paying it off. Again, move back in time, take 6 months and pay to yourself. Earn interest, and then pay for Christmas with cash. Isn't that wiser? Save. What else should we save for? Retirement. Inheritance. Our children. Proverbs chapter 13 says, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. A really wise man who's astute with money and good with money will leave an inheritance for grandchildren. Great grandchildren. You have to save for retirement. And that just means saving a little bit every month towards that and then investing it into a retirement account or something that earns some money. And doing that consistent and regularly. There is a great power in compound interest when it's working in your favor. Let me give you a few scenarios. Let's say that you're convinced that you're going to win the lottery. You're so convinced that you spend $10 every week buying lottery tickets. And you do that every week. So you spend $40 a month on lottery tickets. And let's say you do that from the age of 20 all the way to 65. You don't win the lottery. You're not going to win it. But in that amount of time, you've wasted $21,600 on lottery tickets. If you would have put that $40 a month into a savings account that earns 6% interest, that's hardly anything. from 20 to 65, by the age you get 65, that will have turned into $110,000. That's pretty good. Just $40 a month. Just earning 6% interest. Say you put in $100 a month, 6% interest, $276,000. Say it's $200 a month at 6% interest, you'll have over $500,000. Now, most people think, Dave Ramsey thinks, that you can find ways to invest so you get 12% interest. Let's say you put $100 per month from age 25 to 65 in a savings account that earns 12% interest. When you're 65, you'll have $1,176,000. That's powerful. Let's try another scenario. Let's go back to that coffee deal. $4 per day, $120 per month. This one's a fun one. Let's say instead of spending $100, $120 on coffee every month, let's say beginning at age 16, listen, young people, listen, teenagers, beginning at age 16, you start investing $120 per month at 12% interest rate. And let's say you do that from age 16 to 76 for 60 years. You will have well over $15 million. How many of you adults wish you were a little bit younger? Wish you would have known this stuff a little bit younger. Young person, hear it now. Hear the words of wisdom from God's Word concerning saving. Save for retirement. Save for the emergency funds. Save for your purchases. Now, I'm not a financial expert. You'll have to talk to someone else about mutual funds and stuff like that. All I can say is the book of Proverbs does teach diversification. When you're investing, don't put all of your financial eggs in one basket. Spread your financial eggs out in different kinds of investment, and you can go find some great investments and some great people to talk to concerning that. But that's a fourth principle. Save money. Now, when you get that concept, you might get a little crazy, though, because you'll see how powerful saving money is. Be careful. Don't get out of balance in saving money. Again, be in balance, and that's why you need a budget. Ron Dentinger said, there's an old saying, misers may not be very much fun to live with, but they make extremely good ancestors. You don't want to be just a good ancestor. You also want to be fun to live with. And so bring that into balance. Tragic story. About a friend of mine. He used to be a boss when I was working as an electrical engineer, and he knows the Lord, and he's married, and everything's good in his life right now. But before he was a Christian, he had gotten married, and his first marriage failed, and they went through a bitter, bitter divorce. And what were they into? They were so into saving that they were both working and putting as much money into these savings accounts, these mutual funds, because they wanted to become millionaires in 5 to 10 years and just run the numbers. And they literally lived like homeless people in order to make that happen. It didn't work. And you shouldn't attack things like that. There has to be a proper balance. And that's why you need the budget. And that's why in the budget, you need to allocate money towards saving. So, these are principles that we can start right now. These are things that we need to be. This leads to financial security. Number one, earn your money with hard, honest work. Number two, take very good care of the stuff that's in your possession. Number three, live by a budget. Put one together and live by it. And number four, make sure that you're saving your money
regularly.
Now, can we do this? We can do this. This isn't hard to understand, is it? We just need to implement it. And listen, you also have to discipline yourself, and you have to make sure that you're drowning out all of those other voices in society that tempt you to waste money. You've got to drown them out. Little Alexander. He was trying to save all of his pennies so he could get a new baseball bat, but he was struggling. And one night when he was saying his prayers, his mother heard him say fervently, "Oh Lord, please help me save my money for a baseball bat. And God, don't let the ice cream man come down this street." Hey, I got a news for you. The ice cream man's coming down the street. The ice cream man is coming down the street. The people that want your money, they're coming down the street. The voices, the advice, the temptation is there. But you got to stick to your plan. You got to stick to the wisdom found in God's word. You know, it's getting getting hotter now. And maybe some of you have noticed some ants in your backyard. Maybe on your porch. Before you zap them with that can of Raid. I'm sorry. Look at the anthill. See how they do it. If they can, we can. Lord, we want to give you our financial situation. Lord, forgive us for how unwise we are with money. Lord, I do suspect that there are many here this morning who are in very big financial trouble. And Lord, it might be even because of mistakes that have been made, not being wise with money. I ask and pray, Lord, that you would help your people to turn things around, to begin making the right decisions with money. Lord, I thank you that you are gracious. And I thank you, Lord, that it is by your grace that you oftentimes pull us out of the messes that we create. And I pray that you would do that. But Lord, I pray that we would not presume upon that. I pray that we would begin being financially wise right now and doing things the right way right now. And Lord, knowing that when we turn to you and make a move in the right direction, oh, that's when you that's when we see you really begin to move in and through our life. I pray that your people would be the wealthiest people on the face of the planet, not for their own desires, but that we might be the biggest blessing on this planet to other people and to the cause of your kingdom being advanced. Thank you, Lord, for taking care of us. Lord, again, for those that are hurting, who have lost jobs or struggling in some way because of the economy, I pray that you would sustain them. I pray that you would open new doors and new opportunities. I pray that all of us would be wiser in this area. In Jesus' name, amen.